Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode number 5 of my podcast. It has been quite a long time since I've done my last podcast. I've been kind of taking a break from social media in general because I feel like there's so much going on in the world right now, and there's just so much negativity out there, and I've just had to kind of take some time away because I'm one of those people, I like to distance myself from negativity. You know, my life's very busy and chaotic, and, you know, there's enough negativity swarming around me in my day-to-day life, so I like to avoid the negativity any way I can. So I took a little bit of a break from social media. It was nice. I highly encourage you sometimes to take a week or two just away from it, because sometimes you get stuck in this warp of bad news and what you're reading on Facebook and Instagram and all those kind of things. So for me, I took a little break, but I'm excited to be back, and I have, you know, my schedule of what items I'd like to talk about in relation to urban homesteading. So today's topic is going to be a DIY pantry. Now, disclaimer, if you saw the headline or title and you're like, oh my gosh, she's going to, you know, talk about how to organize and build a pantry. No, that's not really what this episode is about. This, we're kind of taking another turn in the DIY pantry, meaning the food that's in your pantry. Now, one of the things that kind of has been bothering me the past month is I've been opening up my pantry, and we've been very busy in our lives. My husband and I both are essential workers. We've been extremely busy with everything going on, and we really haven't had much time to enjoy, you know, dinners at night. It's been very quick, convenient foods or ordering out a lot, which I'm ashamed to say I love cooking. And granted, I work in the food industry, so I'm around it all day, but I do love cooking in my own kitchen. And over the past couple months, it's been a little rough because we've been so exhausted and tired and just haven't really want to sit down and create a nice meal. So the other day, I opened my pantry again, and I told myself I need to make a change when it comes to our eating habits again. And the first place I want to start is my pantry. We have a lot of convenient foods in there. We have sauces and dressings and rice mixes and, you know, those convenient box mix that all you do is add water, or you just add a couple ingredients and you're good to go, and it takes 10 minutes. And that's wonderful, you know, and it's convenient. I cannot say that it's not convenient, because it extremely is convenient in our household when we're busy or tired and don't really want to cook. But it just doesn't feel right to me. As homesteaders, you know, we really try to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining. And for me, one of the important things is being able to create my meals from scratch, from the simple spices that are in it to the final product at the end. And right now I feel like I'm not quite there, and I want to be there. So I'm holding myself accountable. And by the end of November, I want to be able to open my pantry and see all of these things that I've made from scratch that I can use in my daily menu plans for lunches and dinners in our urban homestead. So with that being said, today I'm going to talk about my 5 steps to having a better DIY pantry. So the first step you must do is to clean out your pantry. That means plan a menu around the items in there. You've obviously spent money for those items in there, so I'm not telling you to go and throw them all in the trash can. You might want to make sure you check your expiration date, because I know in my pantry, there's a lot of items that end up in the very back of the pantry that I don't find until a year later, and I'm upset at myself because we spent money on them, and 2, that I could have utilized them in my menu. So open up your pantry, make a list of everything that's in there, and develop a menu so that you can use each and every one of those items up before you go ahead and start jumping into making your own mixes and sauces, etc., from scratch. And for myself, it's easy to just get a clipboard, a notepad, and a pen, and go in there and write everything that's in there, because that way it'll be a lot easier when I go in menu plan and I know exactly what is in there. Number 2, make a list of frequently purchased pantry items. Now, this may take a little time. Some people do this differently. Myself, I know off the top of my head of what we go through on a daily, weekly, monthly basis and our homestead. So there are certain items that we are constantly buying all the time. And for myself, I know that in my brain. Now, some people, you may be like, well, we don't really have a consistent, you know, group of items that we buy. We just kind of buy here and there. Well, if that's the case, then you need to take like a month's worth of receipts at the grocery store and see what items that you are frequently buying that you don't even really think about because you're so programmed to buy those every time you go to the store. Like, I know there's some people that are like, every time I go to the store, I buy ranch dressing, I buy ketchup, and I buy mayo. That's the 3 staple items I buy every time I go to the grocery store. So like I said, for myself, I got to write things down. But other people, they may keep their receipts for the month, look at them and say, okay, this is a frequent item where I'm purchasing constantly. So I need to write that down because that's an item that I should have on hand that I can make from scratch. Now, do not write down any items that you do not frequently use. Because if you're going to make a from scratch mix and it's something that you use once a year, it is not worth the time or the money. Don't worry about, you know, spending the money on those ingredients and making that mix if it's something that you don't frequently use. When it comes to that situation, if it's an item that you use once a year, then just go to the store and buy it. I will say that. You know, I'm all about being self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and trying to create everything from scratch. But when it comes to that, like for myself, I do not like mac and cheese. I absolutely hate it. It's my least favorite food. I will eat it if it's homemade, but if it's like, say, for instance, Kraft macaroni and cheese in the box, I will not eat it. But you know what? Once in a while, my husband may want it, so I will buy one box because I know he likes it, and I'm not going to make a mixture of that from scratch because it's not a frequently, you know, item that's ate in our household. So that's something I'm not going to make. That's kind of a bad example, but it's not something that we eat frequently, so I'm not going to make a mixture for that because it's just not worth the time nor the money to make it because it's not something that we frequently purchase. When you are making the list of frequently purchased pantry items, think of other things that you may not have in your pantry that you would like to see that because you want to try something new. Now, it kind of goes back to what I said if it's not a staple item in your pantry. But say, for instance, like you really like fajitas. It's something that you maybe purchase out all the time when you go out to eat or you order takeout. It's a good idea to make it, you know, make that seasoning from scratch. Then you have it so you can make it for your family and have it readily available. So make that list of frequently purchased pantry items. It'll help you a lot. And that way you have kind of a starting stepping stone for your DIY pantry because then you know where you need to start. So that is number two on the list. Number three, once you have that list ready, you need to do your research on some of the best recipes for those items. So there's a lot of hundreds of thousands of recipes out there for different items. I have books upon books on my shelf for making items from scratch as well. But you need to find what recipe is best going to suit your family. There's a lot of different items out there that people make it different ways. Maybe you make your ranch dressing different than I do. Maybe you make your Italian dressing or your taco season different than I do. So go out there and find what items work best. And maybe a trial and error. You may make this batch of something and you're like, this is terrible. Like, I don't like it. I need to change something up, or it's too spicy or not spicy enough. Or, you know, I want more cocoa in my brownie mix, or I want less cocoa, or it needs more sugar. So you have to play around a little bit. So at first you may not want to make mass quantities of these items. You may want to test it out, like make a little bit at once and then try it. And if your family likes it and you like the flavor and how everything came out, then go ahead and make a big, you know, batch of it. So you know, trial and error. That's also part of number three, trial and error. Do your research. See what fits best for the items that you like. You may find that you try one recipe and you really like it, but then there's a new recipe you saw online. Try it out. It doesn't hurt. Trial and error. You know, as individuals who are in the kitchen a lot, trial and error is key because you need to find what's best going to suit you and your family. And a lot of times when you go on the internet, you can say, okay, say for instance, you're like a die-hard Hidden Valley Ranch dressing fan, then you could probably find a recipe online that someone made and shared and said that it tastes exactly like it and use that recipe. So look out there. There's tons of tools. Pinterest is great. YouTube is great. Google, you know, the works. I'm a big fan of books. So for me, my first place I go is actually to my recipe collection because I just love being able to look through those books. And then if I can't really find something that I feel is worthwhile, or if I tried it and didn't like it, then I jump to the internet and I find a better option for me. Number four, after you have made your list, you started doing your research on the recipes that you're going to use, you need to figure out what containers are going to work best for you. So you need to look at your pantry space. You need to look at your organization of your pantry, what items you're actually going to make. Some items are obviously going to work better in one container than the other. I like mason jars. Mason jars are always my go-to. I use the large mason jars. They work good for us because there's only two of us. Now, if I had, you know, kids, I would probably get the bigger style glass mason jars that you can get at, you know, like Hobby Lobby and other stores like that. because we would go through more mixture. But because there's only two of us, I don't need like mass quantities of stuff. So I use a large mason jar and I put all my mixes in there. It makes it very simple. There's a lot of other glass jar options. Like I said, you can go to craft stores, you can go to Walmart. There's a lot of options out there, but you need to figure out what's going to work best for you. Now, maybe it's just you in your homestead. With that being said, you can go to the Dollar Tree and get little glass jars. It's enough for, you know, a serving for a month for you. So you need to see what's going to work best for your pantry, how much of that you're going to need. Like if you're a person who's going to make pancake mix from scratch and your kids have it every Saturday and Sunday, then you know you're going to need to make more because you eat it every Saturday and Sunday. So think about that when you're getting those containers of what's going to work best, like I said, for your pantry style, for your organization, and for how much your family consumes of it to see what size of container or jar you're going to need. Number five, list/organization. Now, what I mean by this is once you have done everything you needed to, you've planned, you've created a list, you have looked up recipes, you got your jars, and you have packed those jars full of your homemade mixes, sauces, etc. Now you need to figure out how you are going to stay organized with them. Now, this is kind of a two-part number five. The first part is you need a checklist of some sort that you check off when you run out of the mix. Because usually when you buy something at the store and you run out, you're like, oh, I got to go buy it at the store now. Well, you can make it from scratch. So in that case, you can whip it up real quick for whatever you're making. But it's good to have that list, even if you post it inside your pantry door and say, okay, I use all of my homemade ranch dressing mix. I'm going to cross it off the list. I know that I need to make more for the next time or whenever I need it again. I like to be organized that way because I don't like when I feel like I'm going crazy and being like, oh, I know I made this. How do we not have any left? But then I think, oh, 2 weeks ago we had company over and we utilized it all and I didn't even think about it because I was so busy. So I like to stay organized by placing, you know, a list or some kind of item in my cupboard so that I can check it off when I know that it's getting low or if I need to make more. Now, the second part of this is to make sure when you are using these mixes that you are creating, that you have some kind of either information attached to the mason jar or in a binder or somewhere close, what you need to add to those mixes. Now, obviously, if it's like taco mix, you're just putting it right into your taco mix and you add a certain amount of water or liquid that you want to, but it's still good to have like, okay, you need 2 tablespoons or 3 tablespoons or whatever it is for a mixture. Say for instance, it's a brownie mix. So attach the recipe to the back of it or in a binder saying, okay, I need to add 2 eggs. I need to add this. I need to add that because you can make all the mixes and that's fine and dandy, but you need to make sure that there's another section of that you need to account for, meaning the additional ingredients that you have to put in there when you're actually physically making like pancakes, like what are your additional ingredients you need? Or ranch dressing mix, like, okay, how much buttermilk do I need to make this ranch dressing mix? Or if I have Italian dressing, how much oil do I need? So you got to think of those things too, because even though that final mix is there, there's still a final step that you need to do to utilize that product. So going back again, number one, make sure you clean out your pantry, see what items you have in there, get rid of the items that maybe expired and menu plan with items in there so you can get those out of there before you start your DIY pantry mixes. Second, make a list of your frequently purchased items. That way you know exactly what you should be making because you utilize it very frequently. Number three, again, do your research. Find the best recipes for you and your family that you're going to enjoy. Four, containers. What's best for your pantry, what fits best, what works best for the amount that you're going to consume. Number five, organization. Have your list ready so you know how much you have on hand, how much you need to make, and the final steps you need to take with that mixture to make the final project. So the question that I've been waiting to the end to bring this up, people say, Justine, but really, making stuff from scratch, it really isn't cheaper. I can go to the store and buy it a lot cheaper. Okay, so I always get kind of defensive with this question, and I try not to, because a lot of times when people are making this comment, it's the people who may not be in the homesteading, you know, realm. They don't really like to cook, or, you know, they're not home cooks, or kind of they don't really see eye to eye with me when it comes to those things. Now, for me, yes, there is items out there that is cheaper to go and buy at the store. A loaf of bread, I can go to Aldi's for 89 cents. Buy a loaf of bread and bring it home. Or I can make it at home. I can make more of a gourmet bread that tastes delicious. the quality is a lot better. I know what's in my products. And yes, it costs a little bit more money, but I get the satisfaction of knowing I made it from scratch and that it tastes a heck of a lot better than what I'm purchasing in the store. Not that I have anything against Aldi's. I love their products, but you know, you have to admit when someone makes something homemade compared to what you're buying in the store, that that homemade product most times, if the cook knows what they're doing, tastes a lot better than what you're purchasing in the store. That's my opinion. It may not be your opinion, but I always have a tough time with that question. But always how I address it for me is, you know, I want to be more self-sufficient. I like to make my food from scratch. That makes me feel, you know, good about myself. It makes me, you know, have a satisfaction knowing that I created this product, you know, from the ground up, basically. Also, the taste for me, 120% tastes better, like I mentioned earlier. The quality. A lot of times when you do a store-bought versus what you make at home, the quality is incredibly better than what you're purchasing at the store. And maybe people, maybe you're going to disagree with me and say, you're crazy. You're like, no, what I buy at the store is better. And that's fine. I mean, it is what it is. We've learned being a homesteader, especially an urban homesteader, that we're going to have people argue with us up and down all day long, that what we do is wrong, that it's not right, that we're doing it wrong, that this and that. I'm used to it by now. So this is the only question really that I get the most offensive in, because it is relation to food. Me, my whole life revolves around food. I've been in the food industry for 10 plus years and I've managed kitchens and, you know, been around the culinary field. And it just frustrates me when people come at me with the question and I just get very frustrated, and I really shouldn't, but you know what, when you're passionate about something, you get a little defensive sometimes. Also, too, looking at the health benefit of making things from scratch. Now, this is so important to me because as I've gotten older, I've noticed that my body is reacting to different ingredients and foods differently than it did 10 years ago. So for me, I've noticed as I got older that MSG has affected me more than it ever has. So I love going to Chinese buffets. I love Chinese food in general. Like, that's one of my favorite foods. But I've noticed now when I go and I eat, I'm getting a headache 5 minutes into what I'm eating. And that's like, it's like clockwork. And it's terrible because I love Chinese food. So I know I have to take an Excedrin before I go and eat Chinese food because I'm going to get a headache because of all the salt. And 10 years ago, that didn't affect me. It was no big deal. But now as I get older, it's starting to affect me. Also, different colors and dyes in foods. You know, I really love gummy candy because I can't eat chocolate. So that's always my go-to. And there's some candies that I eat and I get a headache within 10 minutes. And it's, you know, it's depressing because it's a lot of things that I enjoy. And now I can't enjoy it as much as I get older because my body is changing and everything like that with age. But when I make something from scratch in my kitchen, I know exactly what's in it. And I can explain the ingredients in it. I can understand the ingredients. I can pronounce them for one. I mean, come on here. How many times have you picked up a product and looked at it and you're like, I can't even begin to pronounce what the heck that item is or why it's in there and what it's doing for the product. That's the crazy thing about it. For example, my favorite is taco seasoning. So at the store, you can get taco seasoning for, you know, say a higher brand for 50 cents. And I like look at the ingredients and I actually pulled it up on the website today of like what's actually in taco seasoning packets, because I haven't bought taco seasoning packets in a long time. So when I pull up this one packet, I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but it has, you know, your chili pepper, your salt, the maltodextrin spice, onion powder, cornstarch, yellow corn flour, contains less than 2% of partially hydrogenated soybean oil, yeast extract, silicone dioxide, sunflower, and or cottonseed oil, natural flavor, and ethoxyquin. Probably pronounced that completely wrong. It's a preservative. So that's basically in one of the taco seasoning packets. And then when I make mine at home, because I've made taco seasoning for the past like 3-4 years from scratch, because it's just a lot easier and I always have those ingredients in my house. I have cumin, paprika, chili powder, onion powder, garlic powder, oregano, and salt and pepper. That's all I put in mine. Pretty simple. So when I look through the calculations, so when it comes back to the price thing, so you buy those packets and get about 6 servings out of it. That's what they say on the envelope. And out of my mason jar when I make it, I get roughly around 50 servings out of that. So when I like divide it all out and everything, they both come to about $4 if I were getting like 50 servings out of them. And that's like if I bought the seasonings for 50 cents a piece, which I'm not going to utilize them all because I don't use like, I don't dump a whole entire container of anything in there. So I can actually utilize those spices past just making the mixture. But in general, it's just kind of crazy when you compare and contrast, like taking an item that you make at home and knowing exactly what's in it and what you pick up in the store. and looking at the ingredient level. And like I said, he can't pronounce half of it. And it's scary. To some people, it doesn't matter. And I'm not here to judge anybody saying, oh, if you don't make your own stuff from scratch, you're a bad person. Like, you should make it from scratch. Da, 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 da. No, everybody, you know, as I always say, you do you, boo. So if that's what works best for your family and for, you know, your household, that's fine. Good for you. Like, as long as you are, you know, able to go to the store and purchase it and make the items and have a good meal, that's fine. Like, I'm not judging you. But for me, you know, myself, I like to make it from scratch. I get satisfaction from it. And I know exactly what is in my ingredients, which is important to me. So I know I rambled on a lot today, but I hope you enjoyed this episode. Actually just released a blog post a couple days ago on my blog at countrygirlinasmallcityworld.wordpress.com. I did a blog post about some DIY pantry items, and I actually did some of my favorite recipes on there too. So if you want to head over there and check it out, I encourage you to. So I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will see you on the next podcast.